So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Wednesday afternoon, December 3rd. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Numbers are out on in-store and online sales from Black Friday and beyond. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, payroll processing giant ADP says private employers cut 32,000 jobs last month, driven by steep small business losses. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home is Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at AndrewBush.com, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Andy, thank you for joining us today. And these numbers line up with the anecdata, at least that I'm seeing on LinkedIn, where more and more people are starting posts that begin with some personal news and then outlining how they are setting off on a new professional journey because their relationship with their employer came to an end. And you're seeing more and more of those stories. But also, looking inside this private payroll report, it really is a tale of two categories of employers.
Yeah, it is. The big employers are still adding. I think they added close to 70,000. But it's the small employers that cut 120,000-ish. And that's the big difference. So any company under 50 is cutting jobs across the board. And that's really problematic. It kind of lines up with the K economy that you're hearing a lot about, that the larger income earners are doing fine, but the lower income earners are not. And that's kind of the same thing for this report. Now, ADP is not the unemployment rate or non-farm payroll numbers. They're different, but they kind of move in the same direction over time. And certainly with revisions. And we won't get the unemployment numbers till next week, I believe on the 16th. So this is a snapshot right before the Fed has to meet next week.
And let's talk very briefly about the government jobs report. And that is the government shutdown ended in the middle of the survey period. So you mentioned that we have a Fed meeting coming up, but has that tabulation, it was disrupted because of the government shutdown. Is that going to impact the report we get later this week?
Yeah, I mean, these numbers are going to be a mess for a long time. I mean, they didn't even release the October CPI, right, because they couldn't do the survey. So that gives you an indication that it's going to take a while for all of the mud that's been kicked up to kind of settle down in this water so we can see the economy clearly. But what I would say overall is that we know it's slowing slightly. There are some good reasons for next year to be positive about what's happening overall. Earnings have been very good. But again, just to remind people, like, don't get caught up in the stock market thinking that's the economy. It isn't. Stocks move for a lot of different reasons. The economy is just one of them. The thing that I would watch, and this is really interesting, Rob, is what's happening in the bond market, because the Fed's cutting interest rates and they'll likely cut next week. But the longer term end of the bond market is not coming down with it. And you see that show up in the mortgage rate. So there's not a lot of relief there for people who are looking to buy homes.
And then very quickly on the ADP report with smaller businesses doing the bulk of the cutting, how much of this is just a result of price and cost sensitivity? And how much of this is small business also discovering productivity gains from AI?
It could be that. And I would also add in tariffs, right? The bigger companies have better lobbyists. They get cutouts for themselves. The smaller companies do not. And a lot of these tariffs went into effect just in August, and they're kind of working their way through. So as those costs go up, these smaller firms are under the gun. My guess is, you know, as we look at this, smaller firms will continue to be under pressure as we go into next year, and we'll see how that plays out. But I'm not looking for any kind of recession or anything like that, just a continued slowing, maybe below trend, below 2% GDP growth for next year.
Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at andrewbush.com in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, online sales fuel a surge in holiday spending.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Retailers are seeing mixed signals this holiday season. Online sales surged more than 10% on Black Friday, led by apparel and athletic wear, while Macy's delivered its strongest growth in 3 years, but warned that consumers remain selective and cost pressures will linger through the holidays. With us to discuss is Bob Phibbs, CEO of the Retail Doctor in New York, the website retaildoctor.com. Bob, thanks for joining us today. And last week when you were on the program, when we were previewing Black Friday and what that could say about the economy, you said every Black Friday sale, it's an annual tradition, the analysis follows a familiar pattern, and is that pattern emerging once again in 2025?
Well, it's interesting because everybody is excited about the sales increase, certainly over Black Friday weekend. You know, online has been up 10%. There seems to be this going debate among people about, did traffic go down or up? Some people think traffic to malls went down. Some people said it went down a lot. Placer AI, which is the one I use, said that there was a huge surge in mall visits, up 3% over last year. So it seems to bode well for a good Christmas.
And then when we try to assess the success of Black Friday sales just a couple of days after the event or the weekend, you know, how many different statistical passes are there? And then what's the definitive number early next year?
Well, that's always it, you know, whether it's going to be MasterCard, who's looking at what happened with their credit card, whether it's others who are looking at online traffic. And even then, you know, there were a lot of storms over the Black Friday weekend. And so e-com went up because of that. Some people are liking to say, oh, it's because of all the new AI tools rolling out. I don't know about that. But at the end of the day, there really wasn't any sore spots that I've seen so far. And, you know, we'll get a comprehensive data after this weekend, because Cyber Monday, which really doesn't exist anymore, right? It's the reason that it popped up was because we didn't have websites. And the only ways people bought anything online was when they went to work on Monday morning. So that didn't really necessarily hold as well. But it is all boding well. And let's not forget, Macy's has been the third quarter in a row they've shown sales increases and doing $22 billion in sales. So it's good because they've had a new CEO, and it looks like what he is implementing is working.
You know, we talk about the retail sector exclusively almost as a digital story, which is understandable because, as you pointed out, you don't have to go to work to do all of your online shopping anymore. You can just do it on your phone at any time of the day or night. Every day is Cyber Monday, thanks to your phone. But it's interesting that Macy's was talking about some very old school meat and potatoes strategy when it came to in-store sales, like just the attractiveness of displays. And that sounds like it was a lost scene from Miracle on 34th Street.
Well, and let's add the other part is they've also put more people in apparel and in their shoe departments, which is where they make their money. So that has made a big deal. But, you know, all across all of their brands, it was a better story actually than Macy's. Bloomingdale's net sales are up 4. Bluemercury was up 3. And ultimately, they're a little cautious. I mean, I think everybody's pretty cautious about trying to predict what the fourth quarter is going to be like. But there's nothing that reads, to your earlier commentator, recession right now. Everything seems to be customers continue to say, how high is the price? I'll take it anyway.
And then very quickly, Bob, if you have a strong Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend, you know, Thursday night through Monday evening, if that's a strong start to the holiday shopping season, what are the retail strategies that are employed to make sure that the consumer runs through the tape on December 24th?
Well, that's a great point. And because Christmas is in the middle of the week, we love this because we have 2 weekends on either side where people don't know when to take off. So they're probably going to shop even more. But, you know, it's pretty predictable. Right now we're going through and buying gifts for other people, got to send them, got to plan all that. Next week, it starts talking about myself. And so the retailer will watch the messaging change on your emails. And then the next week is, who did you forget? And all those little gentle nudges remind you that you should get out to the store and go to the mall and open that checkbook. Oops, not checkbook. Open your app. Open your credit card.
Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor, based in New York. I remember that. Coming up next, there's a call for further review of terminal construction plans at O'Hare.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Chicago and its major airlines remain divided over the construction sequence for O'Hare's massive terminal overhaul, slowing progress on the long-planned expansion. Joining us with an update is Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like just based on the passenger numbers that we've been talking about, especially coming out of the Thanksgiving weekend, that O'Hare really is a victim of its own success right now.
You know, it is remarkable. And we, you know, study we came out shows it's in a class of its own in terms of what's happening in 2025, that a lot of the other hubs are flat. And O'Hare, you know, flights are up more than 10% in just a year. And that's after some previous growth. And we expect more next year. Both United and American are announcing some pretty exciting expansions. So suddenly our terminal plans are going to leave us in quite a crunch. So it's put the city in a pretty tough spot.
Now, when it comes to the amount of traffic that that takes place at O'Hare, how much of this growth is in international markets or long-haul markets in the United States, and how much of this is regional connector traffic coming from nearby destinations?
You know, lately it's been the latter. It's been the domestic market that we're seeing so much growth. In fact, we see about, you know, 7% more seats out there, and well over 10% more flights. And United and American are both, you know, back to the old days of fighting for every point of market share. They're both adding service. We had a bunch of new gates added, and the T3 concourse, and that's the L concourse there, and American is using those. And we had new gates, the international terminal. So the domestic market is really revved up. But that said, international things are looking better now, especially with the European market. Just so much tourist demand that's given Terminal 5 a real boost.
Does this also show the dangers of trying to make long-term planning in the airline business? Because when these deals were made a year ago, could you have anticipated this level of explosive growth at O'Hare? And conversely, could you find yourself in a situation where you've overbuilt and all of a sudden there's contraction?
No, exactly right. So the scenarios we're looking at, you know, in the new study is that, you know, when we build the new satellite concourse that's going to open in late 28, and that's going to have 19 gates going to be out near Terminal 1 there. And when we do that, we're going to start, you know, tearing up Terminal 2 to build the exciting O'Hare Global Terminal, which is going to be our new kind of international showpiece. But that has 43 gates. So there's a risk that we have to take those gates out of service. We build a new terminal, and we could lead to a net reduction in gates for a couple years while we're building that, right at the time when O'Hare is expanding. So the city's thinking hard about whether they can keep some of the gates open during construction, or whether we have to build 2 satellites so we have enough gates when we tear up Terminal 2. And that's the pressure is building on that.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services, director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. The markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Mark Lucchini, Chief Investment Strategist with Janney Montgomery Scott in Pittsburgh. Mark, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. And the market just seems to have shrugged off both the ADP employment number that saw contraction and also some declines in Microsoft.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you. Yes, in fact, it has. And it, I think it bodes well for, you know, the seasonal effects that December is notorious for, which is to say, typically we go out at the end of the year on a relatively strong note. And, you know, inside the ADP number, which on the headline, granted, was a little disturbing to see over 30,000 job losses over the month of November. But having said that, it was really all concentrated in small businesses. Actually, there was net hiring in both midsize and large companies. And obviously, it had, I think, a lot to do with the impact from the government shutdown affecting some of the derivative contracts and the other outsourcing that they've done to some small business activities. So we'll see if this is indicative of a pattern or perhaps something a little bit more anomalous in nature. And as it relates to Microsoft, this is, if you will, compounding what has already been a kind of an increased level of skepticism around the AI narrative. Not so much that it is going to continue to evolve. It's just all the activity and the valuations associated with companies in and around that ecosystem are being questioned in terms of the amount of capital expenditures in that space, and as well the likely monetization of those in terms of corporate profits. And that's obviously what's undermining Microsoft stock today and really kind of impairing on a relative basis the return of the tech sector at large, even while the market is up, you know, by a pretty decent amount.
The ADP report is just one number for our data-dependent Fed, and it seems like maybe there's even more optimism by investors that it bolsters the case to cut when the Fed meets later this month.
Unquestionably. In fact, even though the probability was already exceedingly high for the likelihood of that cut to take place next week, it even rose a little bit more today. Actually, by some accounts, it's well over 90%, which if passes prologue, typically when that expectation is that high, the Fed has always delivered on the cut. So at this point in time, I think the markets have largely baked in that expectation. So we'll see what other kind of job data related to it that might be also fuel for the Federal Reserve to not only reduce interest rates in their meeting, but also in the subsequent presser for Chair Powell talk about perhaps conditions in the labor market warranting further activity in 2026.
And then, Mark, just because this is December, can we uncouple market activity from the economic data we receive on a daily basis just because investors are making year-end money moves or everyone wants to get involved in the Santa Claus rally, reality be damned?
Well, there's certainly an element of that, I think. But at the same time, you're right. I mean, there's always some year-end positioning that takes place. Also, it's well-worn saw at this point that there is a Santa Claus rally that typically occurs the last five trading sessions of a year and the first five of the following year. So there may be some buying forward of that as well. But, you know, the fact is the stock market is not to be considered the economy. In fact, the stock market basically is a discounting mechanism. It lives in the future. And so what the stock market right now is doing is reflecting on anticipated activity over the course of the next perhaps 9 months to a year out, as opposed to necessarily news we got this morning. And so I think there's some optimism that perhaps corporate profits are going to remain as strong as they have been of recent, and that helps to support the advance in equity prices.
Mark Lucchini, Chief Investment Strategist, Janney Montgomery Scott in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, taking care of financial housekeeping in the final weeks of the year.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, and today we're looking at smart end-of-the-year money moves you should make right now. We welcome in Shane Gornick, Financial Advisor, Forefront Financial Planning in Lyle. Find him online, preparemyretirement.com. Shane, thank you for joining us today. And I love this segment because I love talking about tax loss harvesting when it comes to investing. There are a lot of people who maybe they're just down on their luck. You know, they buy high and sell low. But when it comes to tax loss harvesting, they're actually the savvy investor. So that's the first end of year money item. And how does it work?
Great question, Rob. So tax loss harvesting comes into play when it is a non-retirement account. So it is not money that's going to be in an IRA or a Roth, but it's going to be regular investment money. And if you happen to have a loss and you sell out of that position prior to the end of the year, that will likely result in helping either get you a tax break or offsetting any other capital gains that you might have incurred during 2025. And it's something that has to happen by the end of the year. It's a hard, fast deadline of 12/31. So if it is something that you're looking to do, it's something that you'll want to do soon. And of course, you're going to want to talk, you're going to want to consult with your financial advisor and tax professional to make sure that you're doing it the right way.
And speaking of investing, it's also a good time to take a look at your 401k or IRA contributions and simply possibly adjust them for 2026.
Exactly. It might be a situation where you got a raise that's coming up for the new year, and you're wanting to make sure that you can account for that raise and have more contributions going into the 401k, or you might be in a situation where, you know, you turned 50, where you're now able to make catch-up contributions, have a higher ability to make contributions than you did previously. It's a great opportunity to do that now. A lot of people intend to do it after the first of the year, and holidays come, people travel, life happens, and they forget. And so getting it done now, kind of the calm before the storm, is a great time to get it done now.
And then just from the saving on the margins category, this is a good time to take a look at all of your unused subscriptions to streaming services or websites and wonder, do I really need that? And on top of that, you can also call your cable company and other providers and negotiate a lower rate.
Absolutely. We've had plenty of situations with clients of ours where we take a look at their recurring expenses and the same family has three different Spotify subscriptions. And no one knows if the other one is paying for the other one, and yet they're paying triple the cost that they need to be paying. That's just one example, but it's a great time to do that. And also, you know, with the pinch financially that many people experience with the holiday season, it is a great time to negotiate some of those other recurring expenses, such as cable bills, et cetera, with those providers.
And this is an interesting conversation that, unfortunately, I wish we had more time to go in depth on, but adjust your tax withholding. And that's especially relevant now because the budget and spending and tax bill that was passed by Congress earlier this year does change things up for you. And what are some good rules of thumb to follow to make sure that maybe you're not withholding too much or potentially too little under these new tax rules?
Biggest thing would be to talk to your tax person right away. So once January 1st rolls around, tax people are going to be pretty hard to get a hold of. That's when their busy season begins. And so talking to those tax professionals now and your financial advisors now to make sure that you can see exactly how it affects you. If you try getting a hold of a lot of tax professionals after the first of the year, it can be very hard to get them to respond promptly. And so we want to make sure that you have enough time and you're getting the right advice and in plenty of time in order to do that.
Shane Gornick, financial advisor, Forefront Financial Planning in Lyle. Find him online, preparemyretirement.com. Join us at this time tomorrow for Technology Thursday. And still to come, an audit of your credit cards can potentially provide a financial boost.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Personal Finance Wednesday continues, and as the end of the year steadily approaches, it's a great time to reassess your credit cards, annual fees, unused perks, and whether it's time to switch or downgrade. Let's get some help from Ted Rossman, industry analyst, Bankrate.com in New York. Ted, thank you for joining us today. And when you want to start that credit card assessment or audit, where should you begin?
Annual fees are a good place to begin because some of these have gotten really pricey. This year, the Chase Sapphire Reserve raised its annual fee to $750 a year. The Amex Platinum is up to $895 a year. Both of those cards have a lot of credits that can offset the fee, and for some people, it's well worth it. But there's some sticker shock, too. You really have to be taking advantage of the perks to justify the fee. If you're paying a fee for a card you're not using much, it's time to downgrade to something else. Maybe cancel it, but better yet, downgrade it to something else that's better for your credit score.
And on top of the opposite side of that coin, let's talk about the benefits that you have accrued from using your credit cards and how you can either take advantage of them before the end of the year or just merely take advantage of them at all.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because almost half of Americans have unused gift cards and the average amount is over $200. That could be an example, or maybe it's unused credit card points. Maybe you have cash back sitting around. Sometimes you can redeem for gift cards or merchandise or certainly all the travel points and miles. A lot of people are sitting on more than they realize. So use those rewards. Also, a lot of cards give various credits for things like food delivery, ride shares, digital entertainment. These are typically use it or lose it. They might expire monthly, they might expire quarterly or semi-annually or annually. You really need to keep track of whether or not you're using these things.
And then if you are carrying a balance, this is a good time to come up with some strategies to knock that balance down.
For sure, yeah. If you have a credit card balance, the average interest rate is about 20%. Don't pay 20% interest or 25 or 30 just to get a little bit of rewards. Rewards are only worth it if you're paying in full. If you have credit card debt, get a 0% balance transfer card. Some of these offers last up to 2 years, like the U.S. Bank Shield Visa, for example. If you have credit card debt, that's a huge tailwind for debt payoff, getting a card with a generous 0% balance transfer promotion.
Ted Rossman, industry analyst, Bankrate.com, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Airo will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Airo can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.